when Kippur did the days of Aaron Rosenberg. You know Aaron Rosenberg? So since his days here, when he was around, I learned that actually he gave bubbles. I just wanted to mention to you, there are many svarim on the Avodah of Yom Kippurim. And such as this one, I found that one over in my house outside, which is a pictorial, has a little blow-by-blow account with the pictures of the Avodah of Yom Kippur. And this one also is a bit shorter. And of course there's also this one that actually is not mine. I took it with one of my kids, actually one of my grandchildren. Sayyidina, you ever saw this? It has pictures. Very nice. And really, it is, I think, something which is ideal. I started learning Mishnah again once they put out the pictures. So then I haven't learned Mishnah for a long time. Okay, the reason why I felt it's important because every year my father, Hashem, used to learn with me the Mishnah from Masechet Yoma. Not just with me, but with my brothers as well. And so I've been doing it for many, many years. And otherwise, you don't really have any concept of what's happening in the Avodah. Now, it's true that I think on Tuesday night, I assume he'll come, Tzvi Del David, a relative of mine. So he knows Kachim inside out very, very well, much better than I do. And he'll probably go for the Pesukim again. He started doing it a week and a half ago. So, but this way, it will give us even a bit of preparation before he comes, and it will make life easier. Okay, how much did you able to accomplish a few? I also meant to Xerox this, but I forgot to do it. Maybe someone will do it when you have a chance. This is more or less the state of Advar. Okay, so you have both the pictures, and now we'll start. What we'll do is, you cover two crockets, or how many crockets you got?
Yeah,
one and a half.
One and a half?
Okay, almost. Very good. Excellent. That's very good. That's a good, tremendous accomplishment. So we'll just, first we'll review the basics, and after we review the basics, then perhaps we'll have what to say about some of the items. Now, if you really are very adventurous, then you'll, of course, learn the Masechta. And if you're more adventurous, you'll learn the Rambam, Hilchos Avodah Yom Kippurim, which is not easy. And if you're even beyond that adventurous, that's to say, gone through the Mishnayos, and the Rambam, and the Gemara, and Avodah Yom Kippurim, then you could start Rishonim, have a Peirushim on the two Nuschos of the Avodah. One is the Sfardic Nusach, one is the Ashkenazi Nusach. Rav Soloveitchik happened to prefer the Sfardic Nusach. Felt it was more in sync with the Mishnayos in Masechet Yoma. But at the end of the day, he said the Ashkenazim Nusach, which is the one that we say, I believe everyone here. We are no Sfardim here.
I just appear Sfardim sometimes.
No, I'm saying there are no Sfardim as far as I know.
That's a story.
Okay, so perhaps we will also maybe have recourse to that as well, to some of the peers. Maybe we'll look at it in a bit. Yitz Hashem in the course of this week. We should have done first the Pesukim in Chumash, but since, as I said, it'll probably be done on Tuesday night, so I'm not going to bother doing it right now. We'll just go straight to the Mishnayos here. I just want to mention first, the Mishnah begins here, as you know. And I'll just read it. Shivas Yom Kodim HaKippurim, Ma'afishin Kodolim, Mimeskel, Lishkas Palhebin. Now this Lishkas Palhebin, as you saw in the Batanura, he has... He explains that it refers to essentially the area where the Kidei HaMelech, those people who are aristocrats, VIPs, who work for the king, actually that's where they were found. And then the Batanura makes the following statement, which is a very famous statement. Those who learn the Gemara Yuma realize it very quickly. The Batanura points out that unfortunately, and tragically I would say, this man, the Bayit Sheni, after Shimon HaTzadik, the Kohen Gadolin, how did they become Kohen Gadolin? The answer is, Ma'akesed Yanes HaKol. They bought the Kohen Gadolin. They were not royal Kaf. They weren't worthy of being Kohen Gadolin, but they bought it. There's actually a number of famous Kohen Gadolin, and the Batarua also mentions over here, because they were Rishoyim, so therefore they were not, in effect, they didn't live out the year. And every 12 months there was a new Kohen Gadolin. The Kohen Gadolin was replaced on a ongoing annual kind of basis, and the fact of the matter is that this is not a good thing. Anyway, this area was called Lishkas Palhebin. Yeah.
Why do people keep buying the medals and they get dying?
Honestly.
I think the answer to that question is fairly evident if you know human beings. And What'd you say the answer
is? Honor is more important than life.
Correct. People, unfortunately and tragically, it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, I think you have that Mishnah too, as far as I know. Akina, Vahataiva, Vahakovo, Motsim, Sodom, and Oilo. Take that word literally, as you are pointing out that they didn't live out the year. Kina, Taiva, and Kovo. And all these three, the Rishonah pointed out in Pirkei Avos, are based on one Mido. Why do people, why the Mikane, it's also Gemara Yuma. Gemara says in Yuma, Bimkom Cha Yoshimucha, Bimkom Cha Yisimucha. No one should be miskani with anybody else. Hashem gives everyone that which they deserve. Every single person deserves the position that they're in, the particular station of life that they're in. That's what that person deserves. That's why Hashem put him there. So Gemara Yuma is Rav Kook, has a very famous parish, and it's actually found in the city of Rav Kook called Olas Riya, where he writes, we say this on Yom Kippur, Elokai, Ad Shalom Notzarti, Eini Kedad. The Asher Shenotzarti, Ki Ulo Notzarti, Ofrani Bechayei, I don't know if you recall that line. It's a very beautiful line. Translated, Elokai, my God, before I was born, before I was created, it's as if I wasn't created. So the way our cook understands that line, the entire sentence, and two, three sentences, to mean the following. Often people complain. People say, why was I born in the year 2000? Why was I born in the year 19, what were you born?
91.
Why then? And why was I born in a particular city that I was born in? It would have been better had I been born in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. It would have been better had I been born during the days of Tanoim and Avroim. It would have been better had I been born during the days of, there was a lot of poverty in Yerushalayim. Then I would have had all the misyonos that I have today with iTouch and iPod and who knows what. And videos of the Minayim, I would have had anything this young, so I would have been much better. So Kook said, this Taina is no Taina. That's what the Python comes to say. Elokai, Achelon Notzarti, Kiv Lo Notzarti. Hashem created every person, Dafka, in that particular zeitgeist, in that particular locus, location, in that particular to the family X, family Y, family Z, those who are.
Yeah.
Who here is from Z? From Zedland. Anyway, Hashem Yisbarach gave each one of us, shall we say, the ideal of tchunos and kishramos, whatever we need in order to be matzliach, not just to survive, but to have atzlacha. But there are many people who complain about their life. Sometimes people complain bitterly about their life. Said, Rav Kook, chas v'shalom. This is a very fundamental yisod that Hashem, the hashgach of Hashem Yisbarach relates to every single individual, and everyone has to recognize that he should be so mech mechalko. That's the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. But it's a Gemara in Yuma, and I don't want to read the entire Gemara right now. It's a beautiful Gemara. And anyway, I say all this in the context of reference to response to Eli, what you asked. Unfortunately, as I said, kavod is a very, very strong factor in people's lives and in their behavior. And sometimes people can even get bent out of shape over in Yonan that relate to kavod, and I can give you many, many examples. I don't think you have to. You need examples, even in Baruch Hashem. You're all young, and Hashem should give you a mitzvah young and a man, yes, I'm sure, and great health. But all of you have seen your own life, seen what kavod can do to a person, can destroy a person, can actually completely, people can literally spend their lives pursuing someone else. Someone just told me, one of my balabatim, they told me that he was up for a promotion, and he, with several other co-employees, and he got the promotion, so of course he's quite happy, both from a financial standpoint, as well as from a position standpoint, and one or two of the co-workers are not only unhappy, they are making now life miserable for him. Why? Why would they make life miserable for him? The die was cast, the position was given to him, and that's it. It's, as they say in the Chinese, fa-fao. Fa-fao means it's over. And it went on for a period of time, and nothing more goes on in the Israeli army circles. Recently there was a whole issue with there's a new Ramatkal, a new general, chief general, just appointed the Israeli army in Tzahal, and all the unbelievable, I mean it's just mind-boggling what goes on until someone is appointed, and all the intrigue and the internecine quarrels that are involved in the politics and the silliness and the covet and what have you, it's just absolutely mind-boggling. That's the answer to your question, really, unfortunately. So human beings are human beings. Frailty, thy name is human, said the bard. Okay, anyway, I continue. That was just a little aside. So it says here, Maskin lo kohen nachetachto, and of course you have to prepare another kohen in his place, shemayarba psul, because of the possible psul that might occur. And of course, by the way, with psul, by the way, we're talking about, of course, is the Rambam says, either carry, which of course would invalidate the kohen for doing the avoda, or any other kind of tumah for that matter. And then the Mishnah says, "Av yirom be'avishachas maskin lo." This is unbelievable. Shema Thomas Ishto Shinam and Khi Prabhupada Via Besa Vesa Zarishta. Of course the response was in Cain, and the Dhamma song. If we're Khoshesh Lamisa, then maybe this one will also die. So the answer is the Gemara says that the Tuma Khashina, Lamisa La Khashina. That's what the Batanura quotes. That we're Khoshesh Tuma, but we're not Khoshesh Lamisa. We're not Khoshesh that the wife is going to die. Otherwise we have this issue of end of Dhamma song. Now I just mentioned one or two things here.
Why is it part of the Tuma as well?
Why? It's not the same logic. The Gemara always says that Tumah is Shliach, that's for sure. Misa is not Shliach. That's what the Gemara says in Yuma, beginning of Yuma. Misa, generally a person, unless a person, God forbid, is a ghost face, a person on the deathbed, obviously then, of course, we're choshesh, the person might die. The average person, even a person who's elderly, or a person, let's say, who's not so well, you don't assume they're going to die.
He's asking on the in double soap.
I understand. I heard the question. Okay, I'm just telling you what the Gemara says.
That only refers to why we don't stand another one and please of him for Misa, but for Tuma we should say that we're choshesh that he might become Tuma. So why does that not apply to the second one as well?
What do you mean? The second.
The question is why if we say that maybe the Kohen Gadol.
We're not choshesh for a second wife. For the second cutting, that would not choshesh for. Because that you said, the not choshesh that they
right, but that, but Tuma we say we are choshesh for.
Yeah, you should, and wouldn't be more common for other coin also to come coming?
I guess, can you say that he's just a replacement, so even if he gets Tuma, we don't care so much, it's just,
The question I hear, I mean, why don't we apply regarding, look at the, maybe the Tesis Yomtov is a bit asking your question, look at the Tesis Yomtov, on base, end of himself, Abba Batuma, he makes a basic statement, regarding Tuma, Kohen Gadol Zarizu, Gemara says, Kohanim Zizanim, Kohanim are what, they're very, very careful. The zaris. The word is zaris means to be
cautious.
We need the right word to translate. That's right. Dvizim is the correct. But dvizim means someone who is zaris, someone who is energetic, zealous. Okay, we still don't have the right translation. But okay, but anyway, he says the tumah kohen gadol zarisim nishrami atuma. So he's careful to guard himself. The tumah v'lo maskil lo kohen nachem. Once you have a tzara, what does tzara mean? Another kohen, that's called a tzara. The word tzara is usually found in runs, related to another wife. So certainly it's given as daris. Okay, it doesn't completely answer your question. Partially it does. Okay, I hear. I have to look to see what the parshman said regarding that issue. Okay, but anyway, what I'm interested in quickly is that here the Gemara says that the kohen has to be nasu, he has to be married. This is very significant over here. Gemara actually discusses the word here, Besa, Chiver Bado Be'a Besa, Besa Zu Ishto. Gemara said that that's exactly what a wife is, as you understand. A wife actually is considered to be the house of a person. That's, by the way, not just a halakhic statement, it's a, shall we say, a statement of, it's a philosophic and psychologically true statement that basically a person's house is his wife. And by the way, it's not sufficient to be betrothed, eretz is not sufficient, as being the suin, the Gemara says. Basis of Isha only comes about as a result of what? Of marriage. You know, there are two steps of marriage, as you know, that we're aware of. Mishnah Kedushas on Basis of Manal speaks about a weak step, a step called eretz. That's the Chesha Mishpat step. Or Isha Nikhtis, B'Shalosh Drachim, namely the Kesef Ishtar, would be a. But that's only Mitzah Chesha Mishpat, not Mitzah the Nisuin. The Nisuin only comes about with the, shall we say, the Sheva Brachas. That basically engenders Nisuin when they're married, and then of course you know there's not. Gemina is whether a woman, as far as Tuma, as far as Atars and Darim, maybe not 2 minutes, in Eretz and Nesuin, but Bizman Chazal, you know, when they had years, they had basically a year between the Eretz and Nesuin for the woman to prepare her trousseau. That's what Gemara says in Ksubas. Whether she'd prepare all that which she would bring into the marriage, but she still gets it to be married. And then, let's say a woman becomes divorced, it's an Eretz and Nesuin, you require a get. So a woman who's Meresin is also considered to be married. However, as far as basis of Ishmael, it's halacha, there's no question you need a person who is nasui, who is married. By the way, even though the kohen may be childless, you don't require, you don't have to have children in order to have basis of Ishmael. You just have to be married. And that's what the Mishnah says over here, that this idea of basis is fundamental. The reason why this is necessary, because if you recall, I'm sure you do, you know the kohen said vidu a number of times. How many times did the kohen said vidu? Did you get that yet? You didn't get it. Okay, so don't ask it. But you'll see there are a number of biduim. And first the Kohen, in effect, the Gemara says, Shek Da'atzmecha B'yachar Rakshot Acher. Since the Kohen is the one who's going to be the instrument of being Mechapim Gal Yisrael, so first he has to make sure that he has Kapara himself. And he can only have Kapara, the Gemara says, if he's a married situation. Now there's a very famous Abchayim, perhaps I'll let you to say it over. I imagine maybe you're familiar with a very well-known pasuk in Tanakh. There's a pasuk in Zechariah, it's actually one of the Haftarahs. Who knows Haftarahs over here? It says, Vayareini es Yeshua, HaKohen HaGadol, Omed Lefnei Malach Hashem, V'Satan Oleh Al Yeminu V'Sitno. Do you remember that? Anyway, it says, V'Yoshua Yalavush B'Gadim Sovim, V'Alosna En, and Chanukah, Shabbos Chanukah, that's correct. That's the Haftarah from Zechariah. I think Zechariah Perigilo. You don't have it, we have a Tanakh here, I do have.
Shabbos Chanukah.
Shabbos Chanukah,
I have no idea.
Shabbos Chanukah?
I have Shabbos Chanukah, I have no idea though.
Okay. Yeah, two, maybe you had the two, could be two possibly. Two Shabbos Chanukahs, you're aware. So maybe you had the other one. Is that possible? Yes.
Which one? Is that
in
that one?
That's
all.
Yes.
So that's what we're talking about. Don't you remember this Haftarah? V'Yoshua Hayel Avush B'Gadim Tzavir, V'Yomei L'Vnei HaMalach. Do you recall that? Of course you do, you said it. And it says over here, Perek Gimel, the Yeshua, Vayarei Nish Yeshua, Kohen HaGadol, Omein Lefnei Malach Hashem, V'Satan Omei Al Yimino L'Sitah, Vayar Hashem Al Satan, Yigah Hashem Bacha Satan, Yigah Hashem Bacha, Abachel B'Yushalayim, Abol Zerud, Mutzol Eish, Yeshua Hayal Agush B'Gadim Tzavim, Yomein Lefnei Malach, Vayan Vayomer, Elomdim Lefanav Lema, Hasiru Abgadim Atzorim Ne'alav. He was wearing apparently soul clothing. And the Malach told those who were there to remove his soul clothing. Asir Abgadim Hatzavim Me'alav. Vayom Me'alav. Ve'yavad Me'alach Abonecha. Ve'albeisholstam Achmatzol. So I remove your sins, and now you can go ahead, and you can wear regular clothing. Do you remember that? That's what the Navi says here, in Rani V'simchi Basir. So Chazal say, that what would these begotten sowing? So Chazal say refers to the fact that his children married non-Jews. They married, unfortunately, Goyim. It's a Gemara, the Mar Tzadeh. And the pasuk means that Hashem told Yeshua that he was tainted. He was tainted as a Kohen Gadol because of his children's intermarriage. Their intermarriage affected his status as a Kohen Gadol. And that's why he couldn't officiate as a Kohen Gadol unless he removed his begotten tzoim, the soul clothing, which means that his children have to divorce their Gentile spouses. They have to divorce their Gentile spouses. Spouses. Anyway, so apparently the begotten soul interfered with him being able to function as a Kohen Gadol. Anyway, now, undoubtedly, what's the deal if someone who's married to a goy? That person should be a mumar. What's a mumar mean? A mumar is like how do you translate in English? An apostate, non-believer. You reject the fundamentals of our emunah. You can't receive kapara until you divorce the Gentile, you do tshuva. So, but why was he at fault? The fact that his children Amurim, why does it prevent him from being a Kohen Gadol? So Rav Chaim said that, what are we talking about? Yom Kippur. Rav Chaim claimed that here, we're discussing Yom Kippur. Here, because of the avodah of Yom Kippur, so here the halacha is that you have to have beso. As the Mishnah writes, it, v'chi peh v'ado v'ad beso. So it's true, the Mishnah says beso is with Ishto, and the Kohen Gadol's wife, but who's his children to accept that he has any? He's a Kohen, his marriage doesn't have any children to do the avodah, as I just told you a second ago. Unless he has children, the children are Mumrim, then the luck is he's disqualified from doing the other.
Is marriage even solemn in the first place?
Is marriage what?
Even solemn in the first place?
The answer is Mukbash Kidesh, Kedusha Kedusha. That's what we're asking. Even a Mukbah. But you're right, marrying a Gentile, there's no Torah says Vasishate. Bitcha Vasik no, Bitcha Vasika Vanecha. So you're right, the marriage is not Tal, but it's considered to be a Mukbah. And because his children are Mukbah means it's called doing the Avodah.
And to get a divorce.
What?
Her.
Okay, it's not, it divorce means that you simply separate from her.
Oh, you literally get a claim.
Right. It's not in the classic formal sense of what you're talking about. But anyway, the point is that when the Kohen says this pasuk here, the Chibah Vavavav, so we're talking about when he says Shechatasi, and he was basically, he's referring to not just his wife, but he's referring to his children as well. If his children are Muslim, the Vidui Vavaveso is not true. Therefore, it would be a total Sheretz Biyado. And that's what I'm only saying, just because of this Mishnah of the Chippe Bado Yabesa. That's what I'll let you quote out from Rav Chaim. That's what the Navi tells Zechariah, says, In Bidrachai Telech, what does it say at the end of that Torah? No. In Bidrachai Telech, Masati Lachon Malach in name, of Jim Ha'ilech. Do you recall that? It means that he tells Yeshua, if he complies with the Chukki Hashem and he causes his children to separate from the non-Jewish spouses, Hashem will allow the sons of Kohen Gadol, and the Kippur, the Chlau. Okay, but anyway, this is a very very significant, a very famous Shtikul Tzayir Rav Chaim. Okay, I'm going further in the Mishnah, the second Mishnah, which now describes more or less what the Kohen Gadol would do. Maybe I should mention one more thing that's also important. The Gemara here, the beginning of Yuma, the first parak, the Gemara points out, when it says Shiva Asiyam and Kohen Yom Kippur, my Christian Kohen Gadol and Vesel Lishas Palevin, so what is the makar for this? Do we derive this from Miluim? If you remember, what happened during the Miluim? Miluim, of course, are the 7 days when Aaron and his children were being mechunach, were being consecrated for the purpose of what? Of preparing for the Chavisel Chalukas HaMishkan. So they were separated for 7 days. That's a puzzle in Chumash. Where does it say in Chumash that they were separated for 7 days? Yes, what does it say? It's very important to know Chumash. Excellent. So just as you acted in the Miluim, where's that pasuk come? Very good. Pesach al moy. You obviously you know the pasuk. Pesach al moy. Lo says to shivas yomim. Where's that down? Of course. At the end of Parshas Tzav, I believe that's what it should be. It's still there. Baruch Hashem. It says here, at the end of Parshas Tzav, Pesach Olam Moed, because Parshas Tzav leads to Shmini. And what does Shmini describe? The 8th day of Miluim. So at the end of Tzav, it says, Pesach Olam Moed, I'll read it to you, Perachet Pasuk Lam Gimel. Pesach Olam Moed, Lo Seitz Shivas Yom, Ad Yom, Lo Simen Gilu Eichem, Ki Shivas Yom, Mali Yisiyatchem. It was separated for 7 days, Aaron and his children. Kasher Asa, Vayim Azeh, just like you did then, Tziva Hashem Lassam, Chavra Aleichem, when? On Yom Kippur. So that's one limud that Gemara has in Yuma for this Mishnah. Ufesach Ha'ol Boi Teshu Yom Galad Hashim HaSiyonim Ushmatem Es Amshiras Hashem Elo Sabusu Tichetsu Tetsi Vayas Aaron Uvanu Es Kol Adborim Hashem Tziva Hashem Viyad Moshe. So that's exactly what Aaron Uvanu did. They carried out the wishes of Hashem Elo. This is the position of Rabbi Yechonon. Reish Lakish argues. Gemara says in Yuma, the first parak, Reish Lakish holds that where we derive it from, he said we derive it from Har Sinai. But by Har Sinai, the Torah says that Vayishkon Kvod Hashem Har Sinai Vayichasei Ha'am Sheish Es Yomim. And then it says Vayikra Moshe Vayom Hashvi Mitzot Ha'onah. You call that pasuk? So apparently there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish what the source for this is. Is the source considered to be the Miluim for this 7 day separation, or is the source the Gemara says considered to be Har Sinai? Okay, I'm not discussing exactly what the distinction between these two positions is, and there is a difference between them. Also, actually, Xerox here, the Rambam, but it's not, right now, it's not significant. But we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, they are separate for this 7 day period, and either, as I said, it's derived from Miluim, or it's derived from Sinai. Now, the Loshon and the Pai of the Piyot of Amitz Koach, that I'm looking at right now, in Amitz Koach, which of course is the Piyot that we say, it says, Leshe Kichruda Pnima Yavim Shiva, to sit in dignity for 7 days in the Mishabigdash, Machzike Emuna, Shavua Konim Lassar, those who are Machzike Emuna, Mafrishin Koyin HaRosh Kidasa Miluim. Here it says, like the position of Rabbi Yechonon. that the Prisha, originally I said, well, with the Miluim. And it also used the Lashon Leishek, Ruda, Pnima. Of course, that's taken from which Pasuk in Mishlei, actually Tehillim, called Puda Basmala Pnima, a very famous Pasuk. And, okay, whatever the case is, here we have a Mishnah that says very clearly what exactly they used to do. And however, if you look at the Atakonanta, there actually also it's Mashmah that the Prisha originates also with the Biluim. Okay, I'm not asking you to study both Amitzkov and Atakonanta, although it would be very good if you finish the Mishnayos, if you could look at the English article or some other translation in order to go through the two Mishnayos of the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Okay, I go further. The Mishnah goes on. Now we're just going to describe all the Karbanos that were brought actually. Kol Shiva Sayam Muzorig Es Adam. Because as you know, that Zorig Es Adam, of which Karban we're talking about? Karban Tavin. And how many Tvinim are there?
Two.
Two. Tamar Shal Shachar, Tamar Shal Avayim, corresponds to, of course, the Mishnah Tvilos, Shachar and correct? So Zorig Es Adam Umakti Es Haktaris. By the way, again, Haktaris Haktaris is something that occurred, as you know, when? Every single day. Vehikir olav aram Torah samin baboker, baboker. Ve'itiv olav saneros yaktiveno. And then one nachamo, v'halos aram saneros ben avayim yaktiveno. Torah is tov, v'ne Hashem v'dor ha-sechem. So Torah takes place twice a day. In the morning, it also takes place in the afternoon. So here, for 7 days, he's zorik adam, u'marti ha-sak Torahs, u'meiti v'saneros. Again, this is a question exactly what Atavas Neros, the person, the simple pshat of about the reports, what do? You remove the what? You clean the, correct, you clean the menorah, there's the apra, the psilos, which are the wicks that were extinguished, they have to be cleaned. So that's what Atavas Neros refers to. And now it tells you about the hakrava, makir sarosh, the asarega. We're talking about, again, what are the rosh and the regal? It's fadaka, by the way, rosh and regal. We're talking about the other Avarim as well. The reason why these two I mentioned first, that they're actually curry first. The Rosh and Regal are ruffled up as a carbon first. But the thing is that it's not after these two. Ushako Yam Matsala Akir Makir, she can draw the Makir Khel Grosh, we'll have the Grosh. What kind of aloha is this? It's a very famous din. By Kashuk is Bayak, the Kongobo has, shall we say, what do you call it? First dibs. Is that the right translation?
Yeah, yeah.
First dibs means when it comes to the Mechali Kachim, he takes the best portion. How do we know such a din? From a pasuk in Chumash. Which pasuk? That describes who here is a kohen? We have a few kohanim. So you have to be familiar with this. That there's a pasuk that tells you that a kohen, of course, has to be honored first. V'chol davar shebidusha. And he also gets mala yafa rishon. What pasuk is that? Pasuk in Emor. No, you must know, you kohanim must know these pasukim. So you should know what you are owed by people like myself. So it says v'kidashto. What's it mean v'kidashto? V'chol davar shebidusha. You know that Gemara? Gemara in Gittin, a few other places in Chas. V'kidashto. You know that pasuk? Yeslachem alokech u'makiv. Why are you given such a, shall we say, preference? Because you are makiv lachem alokech. You are a holy person, both of you. A holy people. You know that pasuk? Yeah, the Chumash over there. He doesn't believe it. Could you turn it up to Emor, please? Beginning of Emor. And all of us, Yisraelim, are the Levim here too? Okay? Yes. So all of us Yisraelim are obligated to honor the coins, the Din Daraisa, the Kiddashto. You see what it says there? Kadosh Yalav, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Kadishvan. The Pasuk Chumash. V'kidashto, the mercy of the whole Davashim Kedusha. Namely, the Kohen, of course, is the one who benches first. That's also Din in our Torah. And then Mother Yafir Mishnah. That's what this Mishnah is telling you, that Kongolo, Makim Chel Gerosh, and other Chel Gerosh. And obviously, when it comes to Kachi Gul, there's no distinction that with Kachi Gul or Kongolo and Konhegya are equal. Here they have nice pictures for each of the, see? Meitiv Saneros, Makim Saksaneros, that's why I like it. It really gives you... He doesn't just talk to Batanura each time again and again. But the fact of the matter is that this is a beautiful sefer. I suggest even adults should buy it. Because it really has, makes it, gives it to you right in front of you so you're able to remember. I go further. Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnah Gimel is also a very significant Mishnah. Masulos Kenem Yizikne Bezdin. the current lechon of the Seder Hayom. Again, even the Kohen Gadol also, as you understand, he has to clearly come prepared. And the only way to come prepared is if they, shall we say, read in front of them the Seder Hayom. What does the Seder Hayom mean? Which parsha do they read? Akremos. Because there are, how many parshas in Chumash deal with, I think this is mentioned already, I forgot who mentioned it. I don't remember that who mentioned it, but someone undoubtedly mentioned it over here, one of the people who gave shiur on this issue. And they pointed out the following. They pointed out that there are two parshas that deal with the question of Yom Kippur. What are the two parshas? I believe it was. But what are the two parshas? One is Acharemos. What is Acharemos talking about? What's the whole parsha of Acharemos focused on?
The
Avodah. The Avodah of Yom Kippur, correct? And there's no question that the Avodah was, there's no doubt there was a lot of tension before Yom Kippur because the Kohanim were frightened of going into the Kohen Kadosh. And then there's the Yerushalmi said they used to attach a chain to the leg of the Kohen Gadol to enable them to remove the Kohen Kadosh if he died there. Even that's not quoted by the Rambam. But there's Azar Yerushalmi that they were so frightened of going into the Kohen Kadosh because they had no windows. And it was very dark. The Kohen Gadol wasn't able to see anything. And the Avodah was very difficult, as my son describes. You know, that he entered the pan of hot coals and the cup of Tzores, and the coals were put on the end of the Shtiyah. The cup of Tzores was held between his teeth, and he had to tilt the spoon with his thumbs, and the Tzores was filled to his palms. Very complicated Avodah. The Gemara says, Avodah kashah with Bigosh. And the Chash was that, God forbid, if he would spill even a gargir, how do you say a gargir? Even a grain of Tzores, it would be punished. Chayim Niso, Niskei Shemaim, of course. But still, it was a superhuman effort, and they had to train for this in the Beis Aftinas. That's what they called him, Niskei Train, in the Beis Aftinas mentioned over here. Okay, so here now, Masulos came in, Mizikne Bez, and the Koran of the Seder Hayom. The Yom of Ishi Kohen Gadol. I always loved this, from the time of a little kid. How do you translate that? Mr. Kohen Gadol. Very respectful of him to speak there. Kvata Meficha. And you should go ahead and you read the Parsha. Why? Shema, Shachachta, Shema Lola Vaza. Maybe you forgot. Maybe you didn't learn. Is the train the Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah? Erev Yom Kippur, Shachas, Mabinos, and Shah Mizrach. They put him on which side? On the Shah Mizrach. Why the Shah Mizrach? Why was that particular side chosen? What's the, shall we say, the godless of the Shah Mizrach? Why there? And the Mishnah goes on to say, Mabir, the Fana Parah, Ben, Mutwasin, Kidei, Shemakir Berogil Ba'avoda. What's the marker for this for the Shah Mizrach? Why after is that the particular side that's used? Does one have any? That's exactly if you look in the Ratanura, this is disgusting. I don't see the Ratanura talks about it over here. But why the Shah Mizrach? Why was that chosen?
Is everybody else coming in?
Yeah, I think so. I suspect that's the time. And it says all the karbanas that are going to be offered during the day are now passed before him. Forin, Eilin, Kvasin, the Shemaka Brother of Avodah. I just want to mention the Kohen Gadol, I think I said a moment ago, he cited three biduyim on Yom Kippurim. One was for himself, one was for the other Kohanim. That's why I said, in order to say bidu for the other Kohanim, first he has to be Mizvada for himself. And then Mizvada for the other Kohanim. And then the third bidu, of course, is for the whole Kohen Gadol. The problem, of course, is that how can he go and confess the sins of other people? What, people he never met, people he's totally ignorant about. How does the Kohen Gadol, I understand to say Bidu for himself, I understand to say Bidu for Amcha Kohanim, but to say Bidu for Kohen Gadol, how do you go about doing that? The answer, of course, is that what? That he is responsible. The Kohen Gadol has a responsibility, because that's exactly what the what leadership entails. Leadership is both a schus and a responsibility. It's both a privilege, it's also a responsibility, because it means that the Gdolei Ador are responsible for the sins, for the errors committed by Klal Yisrael. And where do you see this? At the beginning of Vayikra. What parsha are we talking about? Beginning of Vayikra, there's a concept called Makoyin HaMashiach, Yech Talash Masa'ot. Beginning of Perek Dalet in Vayikra. It speaks about the Makoyin HaMashiach, that he essentially atones for the sins of the rest of Klal Yisrael. So he also, Kohen Gadol, a similar kind of function. And if you remember Rashi, you probably do remember this, Rashi in Chumash, in Pashas Kisisa, what does Rashi say over there? By Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Chayin Egel, what does Hashem tell him? Lech rei, kishite samcho, Hashem otzeis in Eretz Yisrael. What does Rashi say? Lech rei, midulasto. klum nasate lechem dula el b'shul kal yisrael. Why did I give you gdula? I only gave you gdula because of kal yisrael. It's not the gdula. I mean, the problem with leaders today, and that's why we unfortunately tend to think that all leaders are like that, chas v'sholom. That all leaders are in it for their own self-aggrandizement. That's not what leadership is all about. Leadership is a means to an end in kal yisrael. In order that a leader should be someone who's responsible, should feel the responsibility to help kal yisrael, that's basically his exclusive function. Whatever the case is, that basically go ahead and say vidur. Okay, back over here now. So it says here that if you pass all these animals in front of the kohen gadol, so you should be makir v'rogel. Oh, by the way, there is one animal that's not passed in front of him, which is a little bit strange. That also is very much, shall we say, in a pronounced role on Yom Kippur. Which animal am I talking about? Excellent. The soyer. The Gemara is the kasha. Why don't they exhibit also in front of him the soyer? So the Gemara says, Chol Shadayte. Because what's the point of the soyer? It comes to be Mechaper. Which soyer specifically? The soyer? Ba'azazel, the one that's thrown on the cliff. So they have a sense of coming to be Mechaper. The Gemara says that we're afraid that the Kohen will have Chalish Sadas. We'll have, how do you say Chalish Sadas? We'll get upset, we'll be upset exactly. Chazal will be concerned, we might become demoralized. And therefore, you'll see the Mishnah said here, they became the prophet already. Chazal introduced many shortcuts, like he's allowed to carry the pail of coals in his right hand in order not to tire him out, but to exhaust him. And they were introduced because of the Chulshan of Kohen Gadol. But here, the Gemara is talking about something else. Here, the Gemara is talking about the reason why they don't put a soil azaz in front of him, because we're afraid that he'd have mental despair and sorrow. He's undoubtedly, first, he's aware of the gravity of his task. That's what we'll see in a moment when they take a minister of the Shua to him, correct? What was the Shua they administered to him? Ishi Kohen Gadol, they told him. And Mishnah Hay. Other Shulchan Bezdim, Yahweh Shulchan Yashiach Bezdim, Mashpin and Allah, the Mishnah Shikin, Shmuel Avai Zazet, Shotashane, Dovar, Mikoma Shamanullah, Shikari Shukoka, Vain Parashu Mikoka. He said, if we're talking about the seriousness of the task and the gravity of the mission that's entrusted to him, because any deviation would, God forbid, prevent Klal Yisrael from attending Kapara. And we punish him by Mitzvah Shamayim. The Kapara is dependent on him. So therefore they give him Dibre Musar and they speak to him, I would say, even in a strong kind of way, and that's what they have to do, in order to make sure that that nothing Chas V'Shalom would go awry. But the fact is that still there's an element of despair that might actually come into effect. That's why the Gemara said that the Tzayir actually was not brought before him in order that he should not have this kind of pulsha. Okay, let's go further. The Mishnah said
he had this kind of pulsha even later on then. So why not get it over with, let him be upset now, and when he's doing that money, he's not going to become upset.
Kind of, no, we don't think that way.
It's not.
That's what you say. I just read the next Mishnah. Kol Shiva Sayyam, yeah. Yes, it was not necessary. I think they did it anyway. That was the assumption. They did it all the time. Especially by Cheney, it was necessary because we mentioned earlier. But they did it anyway. The Rashi, the Baturah here points out, as you noted, Eli, I assume as you're referring to, that Bisman by Srishon, the Kohen Gadol used to be the Gadol Shabakonim, the Chokhma, the Noim, the Kach of Osha, both in wisdom and wealth.
Why
is Osher now? What? Why is Osher with an issue? The Pasuk. God lay you Mishalecha. That's a Pasuk. Chazal Dashim of Pasuk. Vakrein has to be over and above and beyond his brothers, even in terms of Osher. Osher meaning wealth. So that's what they did. Next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol Shiva Sayyam lay yamonu menu machal Mishnah for 7 days of course he didn't drink. Erev Yom Kippurim, in Hashem, lay yamonu menu Mishalecha harbe. Mishalecha lay yamonu. Now we're talking about, the Gemara actually has a whole description of what foods he was allowed to eat. And by the way, the Gemara discusses that the foods that apparently we did not want him to eat were foods that would lead to either tumas keri or sleep. Such as
wine.
Correct? Yain yashon, and fatty meats, and eggs and milk, the Gemara says. I mean, milk, how do you know that milk puts a person to sleep? A basket tanat? Correct. What is that over there? Sorry? She plied it with
milk and cheese,
or she plied it with some sort of milk, some chalavi items, and that's a pasuk. Yayin shah, chalav nasana. He asked for wine, but she gave milk. Our idea was to put him to sleep so then she would go ahead and do her thing, which was? Correct. Off with your head. Guillotine. Anyway, that's what the Gemara says. He has a very fascinating Gemara on this whole, this entire Mishnah. Okay, the next Mishnah I'm interested in, Mishnah now says, Misaru, we just said a second ago, Misaru, Zikte Bezal, Zikte Kahuna, Ve'alu La'aviyah Pesachina, Sishbiyu, Ve'nifru, Ve'alkalayim, Ve'yamudah, Ishi Kajal, Ando Shulchenu, Shulchen Bezal, Ve'yamudah, Shulchenu, Shulchen Bezal, Ve'ashbiyin, Ando Lachni, Shishik, Ve'chmak, Ve'ayis, Ve'zeh, Shotishane, Dava, Mikol, Mashiach, Manuva. Don't change anything. Now, the reason why who parashu both and ain't parashu both, what does Chazal say? The Batanu actually refers you to the famous Yerachoshim, the Tzduki. What did the Tzduki do different than the Prushim? So the Batanu explains. What did they used to do? So, look at the Batanu on the Ishbiyu. Batanu explains, Shaloy Yeh Tzduki, the Sakin Akhtaras Alamachtan Vachutz. That's what they used to do. They actually went ahead and they placed the Torahs on the matzah, on the frying pan. They did it where? Outside. And then they brought it inside. How do they dash in the pasuk when it says, Ki be'onon, a roi alak ha-Torahs, ki ba'anan ha-shan, ha-Torahs yavo, with the smoke, or with the pillar of smoke, the Torahs will come, and then I will appear on the ha-Torahs. And that's not true. Because the pasuk says, Achumish, v'nasan ha-Torahs ala-esh, v'zei ha-shem. Where is the Torahs placed? It has to be placed inside. That's when you place the Torahs on the Machta of the Hashem. So there's a quite a difference. This is the major difference between the Tzdukim and the Prushim. The Tzdukim, of course, they simply took the Pasuk literally. That's what Tzdukim generally are. They take Torah Shem of Sabbath a little away. The Prushim have a Torah Shem of Sabbath. That's the Torah Shem of Sabbath. They knew that all this has to be done inside as opposed to doing it outside and coming inside the way the Tzdukim did it. And then, because they were Choshim and the Tzduki, so he is parish of Bochim, they ain't parish of Bochim, because the Gemara says, Achoshim Yixerim, Lokim Begufa. It's a famous Gemara in Shabbos that the Batanur here quotes, and therefore, because of that situation, so that's why they were parish of Bochim. I just want to read the next Mishnah. Yeah.
What was the significance of this house?
Of what house?
Beis
Haftinas.
Practice.
I'm sorry?
It's in
No, I understand that. I
would
say
that
what was it?
That's where they practiced, no?
I think so. Yeah. That's where they were. They all also.
The danger.
And they were the ones who did the Torahs. And that's where they were being with Hanukkah. Sorry? I mean, since, because we don't really know what happened inside. No one was allowed to be with the Kohen Gadol inside. The Pasuk says, "Chol Adam lo yiyah ba'ol mayim." The boy and the chafim of Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, "No one was allowed to be with the Kohen Gadol when he did the actual avodah inside the Beis Hamikdash." So therefore, we have to make sure that it was that he was trained to do it properly, so we wouldn't have any issue on Yom Kippur itself. Anyway, the Mishnah goes on. Yeah.
Next question. I mean, because they were kosher kosher, were they lokim or no? I mean, right here was that.
He does quote it. I mean, the kasha here is that everyone asks that.
They should be lokim, right?
Yeah, but why was the shvua necessary? That's a problem over here. Why do they have to go ahead and take a shvua? I mean, if
it's
the
implication of whether or not it's tzuki or not, and they would be mechape if it was tzuki, if he was doing the vote the wrong way. I understand that.
Yeah, but they asked the kasha. I was thinking on this mission, they asked that even if it's a tzduki, who cares? Why should he care about swearing? According to his toes, it would be basically nishma levatos ha-mitzvah, it's not a shvua. So why is it all necessary? I mean, the whole thing is not valid. Nishma levatos ha-mitzvah is not valid. So why exactly? What was that?
Well, you just said it's zirabala.
What do you mean, kabbalah?
It's not zirabala, it's not the Torah. That shvua is about the way.
So you're saying that also is a blishi tassa, almost like according to what they held. It's tukim, so they are not moded the chalal of Rosh Chazal. They're also not moded the nishma levatos ha-mitzvah, not a shvur. Very good what Menachem says. It's also Rosh Chazal. It's going to them, even nishma levatos ha-mitzvah, shvur is not. That's why, okay. Very good. Excellent. The answer that you said, I believe, is given by one of the achronim. If it's Hasemes, if it's Chodesh, they ask this kasha, they answer the way you just answered it. Because otherwise, they don't understand exactly the nature of the Shua, the whole thing, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, shouldn't they be looking?
What?
Because they're pushing the chair.
Okay, so,
it's more of just like a collateral kind of.
I mean, there's a question which Rav Soloveitchik once raised the name of his father, Meshi Soloveitchik, which is an issue. I mean, that's what you're. There's an inconsistency between this rule that the Mishnah quotes, Galachosh of Hashem, like, you know, some of the Pam Kosh of you. So, the person, if I'm Kosh of anyone in this room, you all have a Cheskas Kashas, you all have Tzadikim, Malachi Ashari, Sakadak, and Kosh of you. On the other hand, the Gemara says that I think it's a Masit to the Kabbalah. What does it say there, Masit to the Kabbalah? Kabdeu Bereshteu. I forgot what the context is. The context is, if someone's in my house, of course I should be Mechavidim, but I should be Cheshit. Who knows what he's going to do? Maybe he'll steal all my... all my valuables, and you remember the Gemara has in, that's a different reason, the Gemara at the end of Kedusha, with Av Amma, Nura Bebesa Shal Amma, remember that Gemara? Those are the women who were, he freed them from captivity, and then he put them in the loft, so he shouldn't have any in Sahara. And then in the middle of the night, so he got a ladder, started going up there, and the Gemara said, and then he screamed out the middle, Nura, there's a fire in the house of Avama! And they all came on to say it. And the reason why he said that, because suddenly the Yetzirah got a hold of him. There were women up there, but that's a different halacha. But here the Gemara says, Kabdeyu v'chashdeyu. The Gemara says that by Orchid, come to your house, you have to be v'chabed them, but also make sure you lock all the drawers. That's just what they don't have. So the question is, how do you reconcile these two statements of Chazal? The one that the Gemara Shabbos here that the Mishnah is alluding to. Call a cheshit b'shem, both of the gufo. If you are cheshit b'shem, you get malchus. On the other hand, kavdeyu v'chashdeyu. How do you reconcile the two?
So, I think that Moshe Soloveitchik argued.
Go ahead.
Maybe because in this case it would be much more extreme. Like somewhere where you would get yichayev karis or something in that matter, then you would get malchus if you're suspecting them. But in the case of like a house, like you were saying, it wouldn't be that big a deal to suspect people. It's not going to hurt them if you suspect them.
Hashem can over here.
But here, if he's found to be a Tzeduki, then... Well, I mean, I don't know what they would do to him, but I would assume it would not be... They wouldn't just let him go and be like, okay...
I would do it. You wouldn't definitely have to. It just wouldn't be really fair to everyone anymore. It's fine, right?
But...
strange
anything
about it.
What exactly do you want me to do? I'm
just saying, like... And obviously they have to do what they have to do, I understand that, but we have the concept of pushing the chair and slope in, you know?
Right, if there's nothing you can do, it's totally their
fault. Okay, so they should have to do that, but unfortunately as part of it they also have to be slope in, you know?
So what you're saying is that, I think there is something more to say. I mean, you're saying, Choshe B'Kshem, Loke B'Gufa, the Gemara applies over here, is because... Here we're talking about someone who might be in Tzeduki, and wanted to, the reason why we listened an oath to him was to reveal what his affiliation is, where he's holding. Is he a Prushi? Is he someone who's committed? Or is he, shall we say, someone who decided to deviate from the path? And also we're talking about Kalmus, we're talking about the entire world is at stake. Not a small matter over here. So here, the Gemara somehow was not concerned about Choshe B'Kshem, because we have to make sure the Kalmus is protected. Mashen came in the Tzadik case of Choshe B'Kshem of Kavdei v'Chashdei. Of course, you're Mechavidim, but still, you're worried about your valuables being stolen. You don't know the person. I mean, if I know the person, I'm not going to be Choshe him, obviously. If I don't know the person, that's when I'm Choshe the individual. Okay, somehow you have to Mechavid between these two. I think he claimed that Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, is a chiluv with the Sha'avar or the Sha'abo. In one case, it's the Sha'avar. The other case is Lahabo. I'm not sure what the distinction there is between the two, Rishabo and Shabo. That's what they are. Yeah.
When it says Loka Begufa, does that mean that he gets lashes, but he lashes himself?
The person is Choshe B'Kshem, and you'll be punished. Somehow you yourself will be subject to some sort of punishment, which is You know, anybody doing something is a punishment. It's not a good thing. Okay, fine, brother. The Mishnah goes on to say, if he's a Talmud Chacham, so then he dashes the whole night of Yom Kippur. This way he won't have any chash of seeing Tumas Kerig in love. Talmud Chacham darshan upon him. Otherwise you have invite guests, Magid Eshir. He brought the Ligos Karei. Near refers to what are we talking about here? It says Ragal Ligos Karei in love, Karei. Yeah. Why not could these three svarim were chosen? What's in Eov and Ezra?
Which are interesting and they're pushing
right. I don't know if you ever studied Eov. I have.
I've studied
Eov. I mean, the Matanur says, Ben Shinoch et Vaso. The truth is that Eov has in it, as you know, the Mashal says something over here, Eov has in it, the Yisurif that Eov underwent, tremendous, tremendous Yisurif. He lost everything, he lost his whole family, he lost his whole, all his possessions. And therefore, we're talking about things that are very Mitzayah, and that's very Moshe. And the person will do Tshuva Shlema. That's what Eov is all about. As a Divayonim, it just happened to be very fascinating stories that Tiferes Yisrael says over here, they have a Shashim et HaNefesh. You know, people like stories. In my shul, for example, I give it Rasha, as I did on Friday night, the second night of Hashanah, the first night of Hashanah, every night at Dashen, and even though it was only 20 minutes after Shkia, Rabbi Goldschmidt, let's make a difference. I pretend like I ignore that, and I just go on my merry way. And also, we didn't have, some people in my neighborhood had an early minyan for Friday night, the Kabbalah Shabbos earlier. And the question is, can you do that? In the Kabbalah Shabbos earlier, here you are sort of cutting off the yom tov. But how do you come to Yom Tov earlier? One thing on Friday, in Mekabel Shabbos earlier, Rav Soli Shoshav Meir Shabbos, that you can do. But here, you'd be Mekabel Shabbos earlier at the expense of Yom Tov.
Second question.
Expense of Rosh Hashanah.
So if the giving falls out on Friday, can you be Mekabel Shabbos early to end the fast?
Okay. Of a similar nature. Mm. Correct. What would you say offhand? The Pashtus is...
Well, in your song,
saying that, but again, one can argue that halachas neiros only relates to one yichidus melacha. It relates to yichidus melacha. You're mekabel upon yourself, not to do work. I'm talking about the difference in Shabbos and Yom Tov, you know, that is a chilek in Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yom Tov, there are types of melacha that you're not allowed to do. Hashem can Shabbos. By the way, I had, they were hanging me the whole Yom Tov, Rabbi Goldschmidt, with gaz man and not gaz. The people want to save money on gas. You use gas?
Yeah,
you know, what do you use?
Electric.
Okay. Rabbi Goldschmidt is very sophisticated. But I, for the old timers, use gas. So people want to save on gas. So they have now these two devices. One is called Gazman. That's what they call it. Gazman. And the other is called Nagaz. One is Machon Sommer. The question, what the status of these are. In general, can you be mechabe?
What do they do?
Can you, they extinguish the gas after X amount of time.
It's like
so gas does not stay on. Gas is very expensive in this country. What do you use in the United States?
Gas.
Have a gas at all. So you use gas.
Yeah.
Okay, so what, the gas stays on the whole time?
Yeah.
Okay, you're very wealthy. People are not so wealthy.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
It's a fortune of money.
Yes, so
yes, yes, and electricity is rather expensive here, but gas is more expensive than electricity.
It's more expensive than a timer?
Right?
It's like a timer?
Oh, so it's a timer of sorts. And now the Shailuk, can I do go ahead and use such a timer on Yom Tov to discuss it? I don't know if you're familiar with the Tshuvas of Rabbi Shah. Rabbi Shah several things about this.
I'm
getting on the topic.
Setting it on Yom Tov?
But it'll make me crazy that all Yom Tov is Shailuk.
Well, setting it on Yom Tov?
No, they said it before Yom Tov.
The
Shabbos would say no. It's like a Shabbos topic. Is there a problem with...
No,
it's a gram kibui, I would say. That's probably what it is. You are causing it to go off at a certain time using the Shalom Shabbat.
What's an akimina from a light?
No, there'd be no akimina. I remember in my days that many, many years ago, decades ago, they sent over in the name of Dole Ador regarding that you can actually lower... We used to have a pilot light. Anybody know what a pilot light is? They don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Non-existent.
Can we have a definition for those who don't?
Or like,
the left exactly. A dim switch. 100%. That's what Jacob said. So they paskin, the Dali so paskin that you can dim a dim switch as long as the power light is still on, or as long as the original light is still on, in the case of a switch. And so too on Yom Tov, when they, you can lower the flame, let's say the food might burn. And I lower the flame, this is a very well-known psak. I think it's actually my hopes of Mechaber Amor. But generally it's accepted that you're allowed to engage in this. But the problem with these gazman, or not gazman, whatever they call it here, is the issue of gram kikui on Yom Tov. What's the status of that? Okay, you don't have the problems. What do? You keep the electric on the whole time?
That's
the reason
why you can't use timer.
What?
Why is it a timer? I don't understand.
Why is it? It should not be given in a timer. It's mashma from Rav Moshe that it's mutter. However, Rav Moshe writes, I have a vision issue, I can't write it. He says it in a tshuva. I can't write it down. So somebody has another fight. He said, yeah, it's probably held up to mutter. But all the pasim are asim. They say it's us. The question is why? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Rav Moshe wasn't for timers.
No, that's a different story. I'm not talking about like Rav Moshe's timers. Rav Moshe was opposed to, you know, Rav Moshe's home, what they did was on Friday night, whatever light had to be left on or left on, and no Shabbos clock was used bichlal.
Right.
Rav Moshe over there, Shabbos clock, he said, Shabbos clock is like a mirror locker. Like, yes, you're going to do malach of you. But no one agrees with it. And today, it's been accepted, everyone uses Shabbos clock, not just for lights, but for everything else as well, including air conditioning,
what?
Heating.
Well, what about a thermostat and an air conditioner?
What?
A thermostat.
What about it?
Is that the same thing as a Shabbos clock?
What's the difference?
Or it's completely extinguishing.
What?
Or it's completely extinguishing.
One is just a ground keyboard, and one is the keyboard itself. Which one is the keyboard itself? Or thermostat? Thermostat.
Thermostat
what
definitely shuts off instead of when it gets too hot, it turns it back on.
Like,
that how it works. Depends on the temperature of the room.
No, it's changed the temperature sometimes. It's changed
the temperature. Yeah, but again, all these issues are issues of ground keyboard. Okay, I don't know how we got into this whole issue. From Ezra, I don't know. But these are, they were hocking me the whole Yom Tov. Rabbi Goldstein, I'm telling you, I have to be kind of a bucky, Hilton's Yom Tov, Aburya. There were all kinds of shilas left and right. And these guys, but he's electric. And people in my neighborhood all use gas.
What's the luck on
my
son?
I mean, there isn't any to seven shilas, but it could be a mashu.
I haven't necessarily ending his Yom Tov.
Here, they did Ms. Mashir, and then they had the Josh, and then the Ms. Mar.
They said Ms. Mashir when? Before Shkia?
Yeah.
Is it before Shkia?
Yeah.
So here's what happened. I was in the middle of the Daf Yomi. I said Daf Yomi 3 days after. I said I'm not to the Shabbos Mashir. I was in the middle of Daf Yomi, about 40, 50 people come to Daf Yomi. And then I realized it was a minute to before Shkia. So I jumped up. I said, let's all say this Moshe and Yom HaShabbos. They thought I was crazy. And that's what they all did, though. They do the rabbi. So anyway, so rabbi said, this Moshe, we said, this Moshe, this Moshe. And then we went on our merry way. And then what happened was the other people didn't come to the Dav Yomi, which is like the 3/4 of the shul. So they appeared from my Ma'ariv. And now the question was, what to do? How can you say this Moshe? It's only Shabbos. What's the problem? I said, you can say this Moshe. Nothing wrong. There's a whole tumult erupted. People said, you can't say this Moshe. Why not? What's the problem saying this Moshe? The truth is, this Moshe Yom HaShabbos, according to Baron in Prague, is Kabbalah Shabbos. That itself is Kabbalah Shabbos. There are 3 days when Kabbalah Shabbos takes place. Be continued to Gemara when it's Kabbalah Shabbos with the saying of Barzor. That's Kabbalah Shabbos. They didn't have all these tailors that we say that were introduced where? In the rarefied holy city of Safed. But the, this was much later, 1500s. Anyway, the second opinion is that by the Chadobi, that's what Kabbalah Shabbos is. Which one? The last one. When we say, Vayim Mishalom, etc. And you go out to greet the Sabbath queen, the Gemara of Kama, the Gemara of Shabbos. And the third opinion is the Shulim of Shabbos. There's a story, allegedly, that is told about the Maal Mitrak in the days of the Golem. You know the Golem, the Maal Mitrak? Is that story true?
No.
So a guy comes to me a few years ago, my shul, Baal Abad, and says, Rabbi, because I believe that the story of the Golem happened. So I said, you know, I can get very dramatic from time to time. So I said to him, the story of the Golem is absolute balderdash. So he almost had a heart attack on the spot, the poor guy. He said, what do you mean? How can you say that? I'm proud of the Golem. Golem. Golem said, call yourself. I said, the Golem was a man of Golem. He was a Golem. You know what Golem means? Golem means
nothing.
What's the word Golem mean? an amorphous, as a goyim is, an amorphous mass of materials. I heard that Professor Schnee Lyman, he goes around saying that the story is absolute balderdash, and on and on and on. I'm not saying that. I mean, he wants to know, is he a kofer if he denies the story? What did he say? Yeah, das. I said, I looked at the Rambam, see if he came, I didn't find the story of the Gerd. The story of the Gerd was about it. That the Gerd of the family, and every Shabbos was sent on a mission by the Mahler Prat. A mission to save Jews, that's usually the Gerd did, and to, I guess, break some heads, and to save Jews. Shame. Now, the Gerd was late returning, so it was almost Shabbos. And the shul, in the Maral shul, the Altenor shul in Prague, they were waiting for Kabbalah Shabbos. It was only Shabbos, and he said already Mitzvah to them on Shabbos. Then finally the Gerd came back from the mission. And of course, Maral did not want the Gerd to do a mission on Shabbos. So he said, no Kabbalah Mitzvah to them on Shabbos. And ever since then, in Prague, they say Mitzvah Shir twice because of that story. But you know, Mitzvah Shir is doubled. Have you ever noticed it? Have you ever said Mitzvah Shir? Where's the double? Did I discuss that Mizmor in my Nalei site? Of course I did. Maybe you'll take a look at that Shir. What?
Say it in
Chakras. Asma. I asked him it's double, and he told me he said it in Chakras. What? No, no, when I said twice, I meant the language itself of Mizmor Shir is double. How's it double? Tell the Holy Hashem, the Lazama Shivarya. Lagi Babi Khasdecha, and Rafa Rabbi. Ali Asa Hidala, the Rahina. Ida Laja Halara, Adara Ali. You see what I'm saying? Magal Masak Hashem, Yahweh Mashazak. You probably Ida, or still Yahweh Zos. Obviously, when I say double, there's a contrast between one side and the other. That's what I discussed in my Shia. Do you recall that? Do you ever saw that Shia? Maybe take a look at it. Am I allowed to ask you to do that? Now then, .com. This was Shilu Yom HaShabbos.
If you're careful, you go on that website. By the way, when you sign up, they're on you for money.
Really?
I went on to see what's my record share over the summer, and after like a week,
they're
like, emails,
phone calls,
they get
me. And that's because Rabbi Rachman Sr., he's the one who has to raise money for that. He raised money for it. That's why now, right now it's not operating, because there's no money. So, only when money comes back. So, I mean, they're doing a public service, huh? What would you say? Okay, I'm back to I just want to finish this next mishnah. I love this next mishnah. Which shall we say? Which is the most important finger? Which finger was used? The etzba which near the aguluk. Which one is the tzvada? Now he has a picture here. You can see his picture. See your 17, which finger is used?
Next.
Is it the indicator finger?
It's the middle one.
Correct. The middle finger.
Oh, but this one's using a different one.
Huh?
Confused. This one's using.
You're right.
He's using a different finger.
Something about the picture or
That's what the Rav Nuri said. The Rav Nuri says
one or two.
Yeah, thank you. The chavrin ha'agudo, the etzba ha'smuchala, and then what do you do? That's how you make a call. But then the second shot is shemachavrin etzba ha'emtzoi, the rosh ha'agudo. Okay, there are two different ways of doing it. But anyway, so who are the pirv nekuna? These little chaps,
little
kohens. What was that?
The kohenolo.
What do you call them?
I don't know. The little tikes.
The little men, and beyond the Ishika Gola, I'm not helping Akas on the Mishra, put one foot on the floor because, as you know, that their feet were in direct contact with the floor. They didn't wear socks, that's why the Kohen of Ashul, he goes up and looks at it without wearing socks.
Tell
them
not to
wear socks. What is that? I'm not sure if I'm going to
call this guy to stop.
I told him to stop, but he doesn't listen to me. But just so happened that now, recently, he moved from the area. So now, Baruch Hashem, every other cutting wears socks.
It's not about covering.
It's not about covering for a person to do without socks.
Sandals
is fine.
I'm saying people wear sandals.
Not wearing socks during davening is another issue that Mr. Brewer talks about also. That may also be a problem, but not wearing socks during davening. Anyway, no matter how such a gear is not a shlita, I just want to read the end of the finish of Mishnah. The Chol Yom Tov is on his back. The Kriyas HaGever, what's Kriyas HaGever, of course, we turn to?
To be shot in. Calling on the guy.
Either Russo or there is a gentleman who was responsible for that. Oh, some of them have been in front of the Achav. Yom Kippur and Mechatzos. Yom Kippur, of course, we started with Mechatzos. And the reason why we started with Mechatzos is because the Hulshan Gandonel. Ubi Regalim Hashmar Rishona, there are a lot of Jews, a lot of Karbanos, a lot of Deshen, etc. So then they started then from the Hashmar Rishona. V'loysa Kriyas HaGever Magas, HaShoyz HaZom, V'lehem Yisrael. And obviously, the Megolit, Kriyas HaGever, did not, what does it mean, Magas? Did not want?
Reach, touch.
Not approach, touch. Till the Azara came, was full of calling Yisrael, bring one Kabbalah, and said, come, Shoshan. Okay, I guess I wanted to, let's just read a little bit further. This begins with Perek Sheni, Barashon, Kamish, Rosa, Litzel, Zantea, Tomei, that whoever wanted to go ahead and do the, there's no policy, there was no lotteries. For this Thomas Hadeshin, as it's called, was not shaped for Ruben, Ratzel, Lama, Makavish, everyone would run up the ramp in order to be able to see if they can get their first call, Tadav, Zachar. The Moyish name, Shavim, they came at the same time, but then they have to have Gorolos. They would have to have lots. And the Moon Elmo, Hatzbiyo, what does it mean, Hatzbiyo? Put out your Hatzbiyo, correct? If you are a healthy person, one Hatzbiyo. If you're a Chola, you put out two, because he's not able to be covered, he says, well, whatever the case is, Umay, Motsim, Machas, Ashtayim, Motsim, Makudo, the Big Dashim, they have nice pictures in order to have to get these lotteries. Very fascinating. The reason why I didn't put it in Makudo, the Big Dash, which one is, let's get through the names of the, this pinky is called what?
Zeres.
The next finger is called Kibitza. The third finger is called the one which is the bigger one is called Amma. Next one, the pointy finger is called Etzba. That's what it's called Etzba. And this is the finger which is you call the thumb is called the Agudel. So the Agudel is now put out in the Mikdash because of Ramayim. The verse says they wait to see what the story is, and they see that the Kohen is going to, shall we say, not end with them. So they quickly put out two etzbos, so it should be counted as two, and then the minion will hopefully end with them, and he won't realize it. Anyway, that's what the Grand Bishop says. They were busy running up the ramp. This is real. This is beautiful. The guy broke his leg. He came to Rome, Bezzi Shavola, they sakana, he's usually Thomas of Israel about pies. They used to have what? Four piasos, or four lotteries. And the four lots were number one for Thomas Hadeshin. And number two, what was the second lot for?
Jukas Adam.
What?
Jukas Adam.
And number three? Actually, the okay, well, we'll have to list them.
First
when
one.
I gave you that list. Yes, you'll make copies for tomorrow?
Yeah.
You don't mind? So let's just finish this. The Nabal Mishra, Agla, Kevin Shiroh, Vesa Shiroh, Vesa Kona, he's still showing Thomas of Nehru, Pais, Abba, Piazza, Rishon, Vesa, Paisa, Rishon, first Pais, but it's in the cover of and all the different aspects of the Tobi, how many Kohanim were involved, I assume you read that. You can see here, it says, Apais Hashini, Mishotim, Mizorek, Mibadashim, namely the Mizvech HaPnimi, the Menorah, the Arama, we brought to the Kevesh, not Kevesh, as you know, and the different parts of the animal, how many Kohanim was up in this, and the Mishnah God goes about tells you next, Mishnah Dal, Abai Sashlishi, Chadashim Bakaras Bohem Mephisa. They try to get someone new to go ahead and be involved in this pious. The reason why they did so, similar to being a Sandler by a Bris Mila. Namely because a person who is involved with the Torahs, it makes the person wealthy. And therefore, since any coin was marked in Torahs with Mit Asher, and received the Bracha, therefore they didn't want anyone to repeat it, they want to share the wealth. Or B, Chadashim and Mishanim, however, it came to the fourth pious, so then the Mishnah says, Di Mala Yavarim and Akevesh, La Mizbeach, who's going to bring up the Yavarim from the Beis HaMitbachayim to the Mizbeach, and then it tells you, Mishnah, hey, how many people again were involved with the Kavod Tumah, depending on different situations, different days, and I assume you read that, also with the Ayah, the Parag, the Mishnah Vav, the Mishnah Zayin, I assume that now we're up to basically the third paragraph as well. I'm interested in that is the paragraph I'm going to begin to, Yes Hashem, tomorrow. Okay.